Lisa, Merry Christmas, and thank you for joining us today on Galesburg Live.
Thank you for having me.
All right. It's, you know, marry this, marry that. We all, you know, everything's music and food and colors and joy and fun, and but not everybody feels like that around
exactly.
this time of year.
Yeah, a lot of people really struggle with, you know, feelings of anxiety, feelings of loss, just different life experiences. If this year has kind of kicked them in the butt, they're really struggling with, you know, how to feel all this merriness or even be a part of it during this time of year.
Yeah. Well, we're going to dig into a lot of that coming up here on Galesburg Live. That's why I was so excited to have you here to not only identify some of those things, but also to talk about how people can deal with it as well. But I wanted to talk a little bit about your practice. You are in Peoria Heights and Galesburg. How did you start in Peoria Heights?
I did, actually. I started out on my own. It was one of those, I'd felt the nudge to go into private practice for a while, and I was a little bit scared of taking the leap, you know, into small business ownership. And so I worked in not-for-profit work for a long time and specialized in trauma and loss and did a lot of work in the community, and then finally felt like I really needed to just take the leap. So as I stepped in on my own, it really quickly grew beyond capacity for the number of people I could see. And awesome. So I had to look at, do I refer people out or do I, you know, what do I do so that I can ensure that people are getting the best care that they can get? And I had a couple other therapists approach me about wanting to join with me. And so I did that. And out of that, our practice just continued to grow where we needed to add more therapists and we needed to add more services, and then we had the opportunity to come to Galesburg, and we were excited to take that leap. And so it's been growing in both, and we're really happy to be in both communities.
Yeah. How long have you been here in Galesburg?
We have been in Galesburg for just a little over a year and a half.
Okay. There at the Bondi Building.
Correct.
Just around the corner here from us. Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, if you're seeing so much growth, there's a definite need here.
Yeah. Well, there's a need and there's a desire. You know, a lot of people are recognizing I'm not where I want to be in life, or my family's struggling, or I'm not really certain what I'm feeling, but I need some help figuring that out. And so they're seeking out the help so that they can, you know, really develop the life that they want and be able to go after it without feeling like there's obstacles in their way.
Sure, sure. Did you always want to be a therapist? Can I say therapist, counselor?
Sure.
Help me out here.
Yeah, no, it's a long road to where I got, you know, I grew up in Iowa. My dad struggled with addiction quite a lot. My dad was an alcoholic. My mom struggled with drug addiction. And so growing up in that kind of environment, we had a lot of poverty. I was the oldest of eight kids. So it was really pretty chaotic. And as I was growing up, I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do. You know, all I knew was I didn't want to continue to live the way we were living. And at that time, I didn't know any other way to get out of that cycle other than to go to college. And so that's, as a teenager, all I could really think of was, you know, okay, go to school.
Yeah.
And that's what they were teaching you, you know, go to school, you can make a life for yourself.
Yeah.
So I went to college really without any real understanding of how to be successful at it for a little bit and coming out of a traumatic situation. And so I had to really learn, how to heal. I had to learn, you know, how to study, how to just kind of manage my time, and recognizing through those experiences that I had quite a bit of anxiety going on. So I went to college. I really had a supportive community that I was a part of, and that helped me to grow in a lot of different ways. And I started as a teaching major, really enjoyed it, but didn't feel like that was the right thing for me. And then I went to Lincoln Christian University. And part of the school, they would, at Easter, they would have you go and do a service project somewhere. And my first year in college, I was sent to Hartford, Connecticut, and I did some inner city work there.
Wow.
And really kind of felt at home in it.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I love doing. This is what I'm passionate about. And, you know, and so I kind of wrestled with it, and then I decided, you know, I think I'm going to go more mental health and or social work and see what happens. And so I pursued that. I did an inner city internship outside of Boston for my undergraduate degree, and then went for my graduate degree and finished that, and just stepped into the field pretty green and young and not certain what I wanted to do, but knowing I wanted to help people. And I wanted to help families like mine to be able to break out of what they were experiencing and recognize that they can heal and they can become whole.
Again, Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for joining us today on Galesburg Live.
Thank you.
And you said you've been in Galesburg for a little over a year.
Yeah,
now.
About a year and a half.
So you had started your practice in Peoria Heights, added therapist. What are the services that you provide? We talked about how you got into this and your two practices now. How do you help people?
Sure. We do a lot of different types of therapies. So we do a lot of work with individuals, and we do work with couples and kids. Basically any age we'll work with. We utilize a lot of different modalities that people probably have heard of or seen on TV, like cognitive behavioral therapy. One of the areas that I specialize in it's called EMDR, which is a type of treatment that was developed to be really specific for trauma work, and was originally developed to help combat veterans who were coming back from war who were experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder.
Hmm.
And so we do a lot of work with that. Our therapists specialize in a lot of different areas with couples. We work on relationship issues, whether it's communication or anger management, conflict resolution. Sometimes we have couples who are coming in struggling with infidelity. We have couples that are working through infertility. We have, you know, a lot of different people that have experienced loss, or they just aren't sure about what their purpose is in life or where they're headed or how to cope really effectively with the things that are coming their way.
Yeah. How do we know when it's time to get help? Because we all have feelings of, I'm not sure what to do, but
sure.
When does it get to the point where I'm sure it's different for everybody, but.
Yeah, well, it is different for everybody. I think part of what my job is and what I've been trying to accomplish with our practices is to really normalize the conversations around mental health and reduce stigma. For a long time, people felt like, you know, if you were going to get help, then there was something wrong with you, rather than seeing, you know, there's something that's happening in your life that's just harder to handle, and having someone that can walk through it that's objective, that has some training and skills to help you look at it differently, maybe look at your reactions differently or your perspective differently, can really be helpful in figuring out how to move beyond what's going on. You know, we have people that come to us in crisis. Sometimes they're like, I have to get in today. I can't take this anymore.
Mm.
And we have other people like, you know, I've been thinking about this for a while. I think it's time, maybe I should just take the leap. And some people are like, you know, I just think therapy is really good for you and I need a checkup, so I'm going to come in. You know, so it just really depends on how people are feeling. But if they can see we're really there to be a tool to help them and not a vessel to keep them in therapy for the next 20 years, but to help them figure out, like, this is the life I want and this is how I go after
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And they're not alone. People are feeling. People have these
Absolutely.
Feelings. And it's okay to reach out for help. We're going to spend some time talking about the holidays. That can be one of the most stressful times of the year, right,
Absolutely.
Lisa? I mean,
yeah.
you got your families and so much this and expectations. And
Exactly. And that's... You know, that's what people are experiencing, whether it's the first year following a major loss and they're like, we don't know what to do now. How do we do Christmas without mom? Or how do we do Christmas without dad? Like, they're not certain what to do, and it doesn't feel normal and it doesn't feel right. But maybe they have kids and they're like, I still have to do something, you know, but they're really struggling with grief and loss. And you have other people who are just like, I hate this time of year.
Yeah.
You know, like, everybody's happy and I'm not. So I don't want to be around anybody. And so helping them really look at, well, what's keeping them from experiencing this happiness? Is it the season or is it other things? You know, and then looking at, we're also entering into winter months. It's a harder time of year for people because we don't have sunlight like we normally do. Vitamin D levels tend to tank a little bit this time of year, and that can increase anxiety and depression, you know, along with toxic family histories, dysfunction, all of those types of things that sometimes people just need a little help going like, okay, I have all this resentment towards my mother and I have to spend the next 3 days with her. What am I supposed to do?
That's right. I chuckle a little bit, but it's pretty serious stuff.
Absolutely.
And I can't wait to dig into it with you here in just a bit.
Yeah.
Lisa, Merry Christmas, and thank you for joining us on what is, I'm sure, is a busy holiday weekend for you, as well. And you have been talking with folks who are dealing with the stress of the holidays and a lot of different things that we're going to get into in this next half hour. Right off the bat, the one thing you talked about is kind of the general, you know, everybody's happy and I'm not. I just want to stay away from everybody. You know, some people, I've heard those. I hate this time of year. They don't really have a reason why, but...
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, they're just annoyed by it. They feel, you know, a lot of times it can be they feel pressure. They could have experiences from when they were younger that weren't positive, that are being poked at. And so they really would rather just skip, you know, from Thanksgiving and through New Year's. If they could just skip over it, they would.
Yeah.
You know, but learning how to honor what they're feeling, look at those authentically, and then being able, instead of kind of projecting them out onto everybody else, like everybody's happy and that's ticking me off, you know, instead to be able to look at, okay, I'm not happy, but I can acknowledge that. And what do I need to do to take care of myself?
Yeah. And you're right. They probably are, you know, remembering holidays past, right? Because
Absolutely.
Not all of us had amazing Norman Rockwell Christmases, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Nice. I mean, you know, as I mentioned, my upbringing, Christmas wasn't always the best time of year. It was it was pretty stressful. You know, there was, you know, there were promises of presents that never came. There were, you know, family dysfunctions and fights. And
well, also in the last half hour, you talked about there was alcoholism, drug abuse, that kind of.
Yeah, and anticipating, you know, what's going to happen. So there was this anxiety going into the holidays because now we also have more free time, which meant more time to drink or, you know, do whatever was happening, you know, and for me more recently, you know, it'll be 2 years this Christmas Day, but my biological father, my birth father, passed away on Christmas Day. And so it's
on Christmas Day.
He was in an accident and he passed away suddenly. And so it was pretty shocking for all of us. And so, you know, looking at for myself, last year was my first, you know, it was the first year without my dad. And so kind of going like, what do I do? You know, how do I look at this? I didn't want to go around depressed all day and going, this is the day my dad died. And so how do I reframe that in a way that can honor him and acknowledge the loss, but also make it a more positive experience going forward?
Yeah. Lisa Schwab is from, she is a licensed clinical professional counselor and the owner of Whole Life Solutions and Pathways Counseling in Peoria Heights and also here in Galesburg. And we're talking about the holiday stress, and we just touched upon this, and you have lived it. One of the reasons why people may have that stress and why they're not crazy about the holidays because they're missing, they're grieving for people they've lost. You had lost your father on Christmas Day. I had mentioned that this is the first Christmas that I won't have both my mother and father here.
Yeah.
They've both now gone. You're kind of lost.
Absolutely. Yeah. And trying to manage grief that, you know, grief is never linear. You know, they'll tell you there's 6 steps to grief, but they don't go in sequence. You kind of bounce around in them. And so one day you'll feel like, oh, I'm doing pretty good. And the next day you feel like a train wreck and you're wondering where that came from. And that's because grief just kind of bounces for a little while. And you know, it's not that we stop grieving those we love. I think we just learn how to live with the grief in a different way.
Yeah.
And when we can find ways to keep carrying them forward in healthy ways, then it doesn't feel like, okay, they're gone and they're never a part of anything ever again. It's they're still here, but in this way with me.
But boy, the holidays though, when you're going along, you know, maybe through the year going, okay, I feel like I'm getting normal. I'm back to work.
Right.
I'm just to feel like things. And then it's Christmas. Mom used to make this, and we used to always go to Grandma's house for this, and she's not here anymore. You know, it just all comes up all at once in a big flood, right?
Absolutely.
How do you deal with that, Lisa?
Yeah,
how do you help people?
Some of it is looking at how to be be intentional and, yeah, and anticipate some of that, right? So if you know, like every year we would go to grandma's or mom would make this, and you know that, so you can anticipate it and look at, okay, what do I need to put into place that can help me keep my mind in a different direction that day? Whether it's, you know, we start some new traditions and do our own thing.
Yeah.
You know, if it's we make it together as a family in honor of them, you know, or I just kind of plan my day in a way that keeps me moving forward and focused on positive things rather than so focused on just ruminating and spinning out on the thoughts of this loss all day long.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And then, of course, we have the issues of I want to remember how you put that. Did you say, you didn't say poisonous relationships with the family, but
toxic, yeah.
Toxic, yeah, you said toxic relationships. Boy, this is the time of year when we're kind of all together, and you almost feel it's like you're obligated to spend time with these people that you don't see throughout the year.
Yeah.
Why do we do this to ourselves? This can be a huge source of stress.
Absolutely. Well, I think in part because we, you know, we've kind of been trained that way.
No.
You know, that you just, you know, put up with your hypercritical aunt, or, you know, if you have some wacky relative that tells you weird, bizarre stories, you're supposed to be there and be nice. Like,
yeah,
you know, we're just taught that we're supposed, that's just the way it is. Like, you're just supposed to do it. We're not taught that we can have boundaries and go, you know, is this really healthy for me?
Yeah.
You know, is this a healthy place for me to be? Because if it isn't, why am I going?
Yeah, why am I here?
Exactly.
If it's always a...
Exactly. And then being able, if it's like, well, I don't feel like I have a choice. You know, part of that is recognizing as an adult, you do have a choice. You can you can make the choice not to go, but you can also put some boundaries around it. You know, so instead of going, leaving it open-ended, like, okay, I'm going to show up, I'm going to be there till I leave.
Yeah.
Going, okay, maybe I can tolerate 2 hours of this, you know, and here's the 2 hours I can bookmark and put that in there. And then I'm getting out of there. I'm going to go take a bubble bath and watch some movie and relax for a while.
Oh, Lisa, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. And recognizing, like, everybody has quirky relatives. Yeah. Everybody, you know, has family secrets. And you don't have to stay entrenched in it. You don't have to live it out every year. You know, you can anticipate some of these things and be able to go, okay, like, I know, you know, my aunt's going to say something about my clothes or my hair or my job or whatever. Yeah. You can anticipate that. And instead of taking it personally and being devastated and hurt or ticked off when you leave, to be able to go, okay, I know it's coming. Let me just kind of be ready for it and move on and let it roll off, so I know that's her issue and not mine.
That's right. And, of course, you bring in alcohol.
Absolutely.
You throw that in there.
Yeah.
Loose lips. I
exactly.
mean, suddenly. Woo!
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you get resentments coming up from 55 years ago.
Oh, they're bringing up things that happened. Yes. Decades
exactly.
ago.
Exactly. Like, we weren't even here, but we're having to hear this story. And so helping people kind of learn to laugh at some of those things.
Yes.
You know, and recognize they don't have to own everybody else's problem or story.
That's wonderful. Yes. It's not your problem. You don't have
to.
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, just own your
yes.
your world.
The only thing you can control is how you react
exactly.
to it, right?
Absolutely. That's what I tell people all the time. Control what you can control.
Oh.
And as long as your street is clean, you know, and your side of the street is clean, you don't have to own other people's reactions, their responses, their behaviors, or their whatever they're holding on to.
Lisa, I really was excited to have you into the studio today because this is some real things. We get the commercialization of Christmas and you know, see the movies and the Hallmark. You know, everybody's supposed to be in love and they're all together and everybody's sitting around the table and holding hands and hugging, kissing, and it's not like that for everybody.
Right.
In fact, it's not like that for most, I would say.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we're talking about some of those things, and we've touched upon some really personal things, you know, with the loss and people dealing with grief and dealing with toxic family relationships. But now I want to talk about, what about those people that are just alone?
Yeah.
And they're alone all the time. Holidays can be just even more traumatic.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where community is really important. You know, when you're a part of a community and you start to pay attention and you get to know people a little bit better, then you can start identifying if you have a widowed neighbor or if you have, you know, somebody who tends to be a loner because they have anxiety or they have trauma and they're hurt and they've been hurt by people and they're not sure how to interact, or maybe they have a bigger mental health issue that keeps them paranoid.
Right.
You know, I think really as a community, looking at how do we reach out and open up lines of communication where we can invite them in, you know, and say, you know, you're welcome to come to my house or to my church with me, or, you know, I heard there's an organization doing a program tonight on, I can't remember which organization it is, but it's on Blue Christmas, and it's for, you know, for people who are experiencing loss and, you know, identifying those people and making an effort to reach out to them. Or if you know that they're, you know, they're avoiding because they're really depressed and they're having a hard time getting out, you know, make an effort to try to reach out to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you've got the people that they've lost their entire family.
Yeah.
Their entire family's gone.
Absolutely.
Or they've lost their spouse. And I can just see how devastating that would be. Your first Christmas without your spouse. I can't imagine what that's going to be like for my wife.
You know,
because wow, that's just. And I'm sure you talk to many spouses who have lost.
Yeah, and they don't know what to do.
Yeah,
you know, and again, they kind of just like
can
to
they
skip
be happy
over the
again?
Day.
Yeah, do they feel guilty for enjoying the holiday?
Right. I mean, sometimes they feel like they're being disloyal in some way, rather than seeing, you know, I can honor them through enjoying the holiday. I can live for both of us right now.
Yeah.
You know, and so looking at if you know somebody who is experiencing those things, who has that, or if you know, you know, someone in your neighborhood or in your family, or you know, to just check in on them.
Yeah.
You know, say, hey, how are you? I know this is a hard time of year. You're not bringing up anything they're not feeling.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times people are like, well, I don't want to bring that up because, you know, that might trigger them. They're already feeling it.
Yeah.
You know, and so not talking about it gives them the idea that it's not okay to talk about. Mm-hmm. And so being able to say, hey, you know, I know you lost your dad this year. Are you doing okay? Is there anything I can do for you? Can be a very just kind and supportive way to help them know they're not alone, that people do care. And, you know, and even to say, hey, you're welcome to come to dinner with us, or we might go to a movie if you'd like to come with us this week. But to throw that out there to give some options.
Yeah. Lisa Schwab is the owner of Whole Life Solutions and Pathways Counseling in Peoria Heights and here at the Bondi Building in Galesburg. She's a licensed clinical professional counselor. And we're talking about the holidays and the stressful things that happen. And, you know, I was thinking about loneliness. And I think you think of shut-ins. You think of my grandmother is almost 90 years old, and she lives alone out in the middle of the country.
Sure.
I think of those people who don't have any. Now, luckily, she has, you know, grandkids and all that, but you know, there are people who these shut-ins, they don't have anyone at all around them.
Yeah, and that's where
to go.
Yeah, and if we can look at how to pay attention, you know, in Peoria Heights, I'm, you know, part of the Chamber of Commerce Board and really working to try to identify residents who live in the area who maybe struggling this holiday season, and talking to other business owners who've been in the area longer who might know them by name, you know, that I see walking or I see going in to save a lot or, you know, but they're often alone or they look like, you know, they might be having a hard time. So they can just extend some kindness and you know, say, hey, how are you? What's your name?
And what about those folks that they didn't plan on being alone, but maybe they're just single?
Sure.
And they don't have family here in the area. They're not attached.
Yeah.
So they're lonely too.
Absolutely.
They may be younger, but they're alone.
Yeah. And, you know, that's where, again, as a community, if you can identify them and invite them, that would be really great. Sometimes people like being alone. You know, it might be the only peace and quiet they get.
Yeah.
But, you know, being able to reach out and say, like, hey, I know, you know, you don't have family here, or you know, you're working this day, and so you couldn't go be with your family. Yeah. You know, you're always welcome here.
we're talking about some pretty sad, some kind of sad things. I think of divorce.
Sure.
The first Christmas that maybe you don't have your kids with you because they're with your ex.
Absolutely. And the
I'm sure you
families,
deal with that.
Oh, yeah. I do a lot of work with that. And the families that I work with, a lot of times the parent who doesn't have the kids, you know, they really focus on trying to maybe build in some time with friends, you know, something that can help them stay occupied during the day, whether it's, you know, board games with friends, going to a movie, doing something that just doesn't feel like I'm just sitting here focusing on the fact that I don't have my kids.
Yeah. Oh, another thing, and I want to make sure that we get into this. The Christmas, the expectation that you have to buy gifts for everyone, and the stress that comes when you don't have the money to buy the gifts that you want, let alone buy the gifts that you really, you know, even for your kids, maybe money is very tight. And then maybe there's the financial hardship that comes when you've overextended yourself.
Sure.
You deal with a lot of that as well.
There's a lot of pressure on people.
Oh, boy.
You know, and so the parents, you know, naturally want to make Christmas special for their kids. And so they, you know, want to be able to play Santa and get them whatever they're asking for, and that's not always a reality.
The big pile of presents under the tree.
Yeah, you know, the $3,000 gift that they're asking for, even sometimes the $100 gift can be too much. And so being able to look at, you know, how do you frame Christmas in your family? Is it about presents? Is it about relationship? Is it about time together? You know, and really shaping that narrative for your family and for your kids so that if they aren't getting exactly what they're asking for, they still know they're loved, they still know they're wanted, they still know they belong, and they're happy with whatever they've gotten, because it's not, in your family, it's not about the gifts or the money that's spent, it's about the relationship.
Yeah. I know Christmas got out of hand for my family years ago, where we had to have that big pile of presents. My wife and I noticed, I knew that we were done with this when my kids started opening presents. They're crying and they're throwing this gift. They open another one, throw it away. I don't like this. And they were all, we were all overstressed.
Right.
Just the, so the next year we said, we're going to try something. One or two gifts for each kid. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Exactly.
They were nicer. But we didn't spend the ton of money like we did, and we didn't have this big pile, and it was so much more wonderful, Lisa.
Yeah, it's peaceful.
Yes.
You know, and they recognize it's the time together, which a lot of families really crave, but they don't get a lot because they're working, they're going different directions, kids are involved in stuff.
Yeah.
And so having a day where nothing's open, you know, where your kids have a couple things, but what they can have is your undivided attention.
Mm.
You know, and if you're there and you're present and you're calm and you're peaceful, they're going to remember that Christmas forever.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, Dad, that was great. Remember that? You know, because you spent the whole day playing with me with that game that you got me. They're going to love that.
I always felt weird when I would say I was dating a girl that their parents, Thanksgiving time, they're like, okay, what do you want? Write the list of everything you want down. I just thought that was weird.
Right.
I'm telling you what to get me?
Exactly.
It makes Christmas seem so weird.
Yeah. And it just seems like it.
But it's all about money.
Yeah. It's all about money, and it becomes very materialistic.
Ugh.
Rather than being able to make it about, like, hey, I love you. You know, how can I show you in a way that's meaningful? And it doesn't always have to be spending a big wad of cash on you. It can be like, hey, we're gonna spend some time together. Yeah. Let's talk. Let's do some stuff.
And that pressure can get you into trouble when you overextend yourself.
Absolutely.
And suddenly you've maxed out credit cards and you are in trouble.
Yeah, and you spend the next 11 months paying them off, and then you do it all over again.
Yeah.
And then the kids don't get you the rest of the year because you're working over to try to pay it off.
That's right.
So to be able to learn, like, all right, my kids are going to be okay. They're not going to end up in therapy in 10 years because you didn't get them the shiny thing at Christmas.
Yes.
You know, but they will if they're like, I've never saw my dad because he was working all the time.
Yeah, that's right. And one more thing before we're running out of time, but we want the loss of sunlight in wintertime has a huge effect on people's, you know, attitude around the holidays.
Absolutely. Yeah. Seasonal affective disorder, you know, is real. A lot of times people struggle with winter, but a big chunk of that is that it's dark so early that we lose, you know, but we get up, we go to work and it's dark. We get off work, we go home and it's dark. And so we lose any exposure to vitamin D that we would get through sunlight and being outdoors. And we also tend to start to shut in a little bit because it's cold. We don't want to go out in the cold. And so the social relationships that are flourishing in the spring and summertime tend to start to shut down through the winter months. So people find themselves isolated. They're not getting as much sun. And so their vitamin D levels start to go down and their depression and anxiety start to increase. You know, so being able to look at, you know, what are my sources of vitamin D? Do I need a supplement? You know, you can ask your doctor to check your vitamin D levels. It's a blood test. Wow. It's simple. It's not expensive. You know, but a supplement sometimes can be helpful through the winter months, looking at, you know, nutritional approaches to getting more vitamin D and you know, the nutrients that you need to be able to just maintain that positive mental and physical health.
That's right. Well, Lisa, I wish, boy, we could spend just a lot of time talking about all these issues, but unfortunately we're running out of time. So, well, I know we've touched upon a lot of things. Any way we can summarize this at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is to, you know, not deny what you're feeling, just be authentic and own it and be able to be intentional looking at, okay, how do I take care of myself right now? Whether it's setting solid boundaries, if it's eating healthier, if it's exercising, if it's spending time with friends and people that are healthier for me, that I'm intentional about doing those things and remembering it's going to pass.
Yes. If someone's listening and they feel like they would like to talk to you or they know someone that that your services could help, how do they get in touch with you?
Sure, they can give us a call, you know, 309-691-5502. And we'll get them set up with a great therapist. They also can go to our website. It's wholelifesolutions.net. And they can look at our picture, check us out, you know, see if there's anybody that they, as they read their bios, that they feel like would be more helpful. But they also can call us and we'll talk to them and find out, you know, how we can help them the most.
Lisa, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy holiday weekend. Merry Christmas, and thank you for what you do for folks here in our
area. Merry Christmas. Thank you for having me.